It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel, also Chrissy Wozniak with What Color Is Your Tractor? First off, if the dairy industry of doing good is 60 miles per hour, where are we on the speedometer? Marilyn Hershey's a dairy producer from Pennsylvania.
That's a great question. And I think, you know, it's answered individually for each farmer, especially dairy farmers. You know, I think we are individual businessmen and women, and each farm is set up with a different business model. But I would say if I were asked, you know, an average of that, you know, milk price is pretty good this year. And I would say it's getting close to 45. Probably 40, 45. There's hope, right, for this year. But I tell you, there's a lot to catch up on.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the chairwoman of the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C., Jessica Rosenworcel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And by the way, let's start with congratulations for becoming chairwoman of the FCC. That happened just recently, but for those who don't understand what the FCC is, what's our elevator speech there?
Well, thank you for your congratulations. The Federal Communications Commission has been around since 1934, and it oversees communications in this country. And of course, back in the 30s, that was basic telephony, and that went on to include broadcasting, satellite services, and today, a lot of times when we think of the FCC, we think about high-speed internet service and broadband. Really, these are the services that we all need to function in modern life, and the FCC plays a role in making the policies that help those services reach everyone everywhere in this country.
Well, I sure hope that we don't lose our connection here, because we are using the internet to do this, which brings us to what's called the digital divide. And I think there are two planes here. One crosses rural broadband. The other crosses affordable broadband. How's the FCC addressing that?
Well, first, I want to say you're absolutely right. There really are two issues in our nation's digital divide. On the one hand, we've got areas in this country where the infrastructure is not present, often rural communities, that, you know, if we don't build that infrastructure there, they'll be consigned to the wrong side of the digital divide. And I think they'll lose a chance for really community success in the 21st century. And on the other side, we've got affordability. There are a lot of households that are making hard choices about paying for groceries and gas. We want to make sure that they don't have to shut off their internet. We want to keep everyone connected. And so the FCC has programs to do and address those two things. On the one hand, we've got programs to help support broadband deployment across the country, especially in rural communities. And there's a lot more funding coming as a result of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, not just through the FCC, but through the Department of Commerce and a whole bunch of other agencies in Washington, so that we can make real generational change and build that infrastructure everywhere. And then today, we are announcing that we now have 10 million people in this country in less than a year who've been signed up for affordable broadband programs through a policy that the FCC has been running since last year to make sure that low-income households or households that are struggling during this pandemic have the opportunity to get online and stay online. And we reached that 10 million mark this week. So we are going to call out the good and amplify it and make sure that people know about that program, which is now called the Affordable Connectivity Program.
And we'll circle back to that in just a moment. But let's also talk about the fact that Congress has appropriated money. USDA has money. FCC has money. I know there's more money out there, but can we really develop a plan to make sure that we reach every home in America?
Oh, I think we need to be just that ambitious. We figured it out with electrification about a century ago. You know, there was a time when people said we couldn't light up the rural countryside, that our farms would never really see refrigeration, and that those were just the kind of services that were only available in cities. But we proved them wrong. I think this is our generation's shot to do the same thing with broadband. But what we're going to have to do is take all of that funding that's at the FCC, that's at the Department of Commerce, the Department of Agriculture, elsewhere in Washington and make smart decisions with state and local officials about where to deploy those funds, because this is our shot. This is our chance to reach everyone everywhere. And I don't think we should stop until we reach 100% of us, the big cities, small towns, everywhere in this country.
Now, you did mention the Affordable Connectivity Program. And is that something where we're still signing up for that, or have we reached the limit on that? What's the future of the program?
No, the really great news is that in the infrastructure bill, Congress decided to make that program more or less permanent by giving it a lot of funding so that anyone can go sign up. Lots of people are eligible. If you're on Medicaid, SNAP, you have a child going to school with free and reduced lunch, you've got a Pell Grant. There are loads of ways to qualify for this program, and you can check it out at fcc.gov/ACP. Again, it's called the Affordable Connectivity Program. We've got more than 1,000 internet service providers nationwide willing to sign people up for low-cost broadband. We want to make sure as many people know about that program as possible.
Well, the final question here, and I know your time is extremely limited, but we started by saying this is what the FCC is. So I'd like for you to kind of look down the road, and this could be anywhere you want to go. This could be internet related. It could be related to radio and television. But as you look down the road, is there an area that you're really excited about?
Well, I do think we get 100% of this country connected to broadband, we're going to see creativity come from places people don't anticipate. This idea that you're going to have to be in our largest metro centers or on the coast to produce the most innovative services and products, I think it's going to fade into the distance. And I think we're going to see interesting new ideas in commerce and culture if we get everyone connected. And that gets me really excited.
Again, the program is called the Affordable Connectivity Program, and you can find out more online by visiting the FCC at fcc.gov. Will you come back and see us down the road?
Oh, you bet. It would be my pleasure.
She's the chairwoman for the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C., Jessica Rosenworcel, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open. With jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, KRIRM.com. It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Chrissy Wozniak. Hey, great to see you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Speaking at World Ag Expo, and just a moment ago, speaking about how we tell our message. But before that, should I ask what color your tractor is?
Yes. So I have a podcast called What Color Is Your Tractor? And I have another podcast called North American Ag Spotlight. But this What Color Is Your Tractor has been kind of my baby that I've thought about for years and years and years, and it took COVID for it to actually become a thing. And the reason it's called What Color Is Your Tractor is because I've been involved in agriculture my whole life, and in back in Aggie school in college, I would see how these farm boys would just get so excited and angry over the color of their tractor. And I just thought, this is crazy. Like, I love horses and I love calves and right. So that was my angle. And I just thought it was so interesting. And then working in agriculture, you see the stories, of the manufacturers really is very interesting to me. And I've been very lucky to travel North America for my whole career. And I've got to know a lot of the manufacturers. And they have incredible stories, you know, just sitting around together at trade shows or whatever, and being able to learn their stories and learn their histories and their challenges and what they how they built their companies is just so interesting to me. So it's called What Color Is Your Tractor? The Ag Brands You Love and the Ag Brands You Love to Hate. So once a month, I sit down with a manufacturer and talk about their story. So we just released John Deere, where I sat down with Neil Dahlstrom, who's the archivist at John Deere, and he told me some really cool things about John Deere that I had no idea about. But I also interviewed Jim Mendez from Krone last month, and the month before that was the great Don Landall. And I've taken that factory tour, and I knew when I had this idea, I think it was probably in that factory tour that I knew I wanted to do something like this someday. And his life and his legacy is just incredible. So I'm so fortunate that I got to sit down and talk to Don Landall himself, and that he would share this with us. So that's What Color Is Your Tractor.
Now, we're going to come back and give you some directions on how you can find out more about that. But it really opens the door to talk social media, because in a way, podcasts are kind of tied into social media. When we're going through, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, see a lot of producers posting stuff. Are we posting the right things?
I would say yes. It's very important to share our stories, right? Share the stories of ag. It's very important for that to get out into the public, especially to the end user who's so far away from the farm. The one mistake that I see over and over again is that we forget to pivot and help the consumer understand how it helps them. We tend to position ourselves as the hero, and we're not the hero. We're the guide who tries to help the consumer become either healthier or stronger or less pain or, you know, so many other things. But we always have to remember how it affects that end user. And that's, you know, key to all marketing. That's part of the algorithm. You have to show the consumer how it, what's in it for them. So, you know, keep sharing your stories, but also tell them why. Tell them, always explain why. And I think that'll go a long way. And then not just be an echo chamber, just, you know, saying, look how great we are. We live in the country and we wear boots.
Is it possible for us to really be that facilitator for any issue in ag?
Well, there's so many issues in agriculture. And I guess one thing that's tough and I think is a big divide in agriculture is us fighting amongst ourselves over farming methods. So, and I see so much of that online, and really, it just makes us look bad. So why can't we just say, yeah, I'm no-till. You know, let's not fight about it. Let's say, you know, you have a great point there, and I have a great point here, and we're going to farm our land the way we want to, and just leave it there, and instead, and then try to make a better marketing message to the consumer. I think we should all be thinking that we're not just talking to each other. You know, we're always the face of agriculture to the people that are sitting at their table enjoying their food every day.
Okay. So we want to catch the podcast. How do we do that? How do we find you online?
WhatColorIsYourTractor.com and NorthAmericanEgg.com.
So great to see you.
Yes.
Good luck. Have a great 2022.
Thank you so much. You too.
Again, it's Chrissy Wozniak with What Color Is Your Tractor from World Ag Expo 2022 in Tulare. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When Manitou set out to build the all-new MLT 737 telehandler, they built it with your needs in mind. Designed for ultimate efficiency with quick hydraulic movements, a wide range of attachments, and easier maintenance, you'll have time on your hands. And since productivity and comfort are closely linked, you won't find a better place than the cab of an MLT 737 telehandler to get the job done. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guests today, FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel and Chrissy Wozniak with What Color Is Your Tractor?
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. How's rural America and agriculture? Marilyn Hershey is a dairy producer from Pennsylvania.
We have to protect our land, and the rural area is, we just have to be able to protect the foundation that the family farms have stood on. And it is increasingly more difficult. I live close to Philadelphia. I live 2.5 hours in between New York City and Washington, D.C. There's Baltimore and Philly in there as well. And there is a ton of people, okay? And there's encroachment. They want to move out to the country as well. But we have to protect our way of life. We have to protect our way of farming. And it does become more and more difficult each year. And it doesn't matter where I go across the country. There's the same issue.